Welcome to the Beer Driven Devs podcast, where your hosts, Matt Goldman and Liam Elliott, share their experiences and passion for technology, software, and of course, beer. So be sure to grab yourselves a cold one and join them for this week's chat.
Okay, so here's the problem. Where do I start? Before we get into this saga, why don't you tell me what you've been up to? It's been a while. A lot's been happening.
It has been a while. I mean, we've sort of been hard pressed to actually get a time to record at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's been happening since last time we spoke? Not a lot.
So yeah, a lot has been happening then.
Too much.
A lot's been going on.
Way too much.
Let's think. So big news, Chuck Norris.
Oh, look, that's really sad, but at the same, I don't want to follow that up with a but. But it is a testament to him, I guess, that even in his passing, his persona has just, what's the word? Just like the, don't even want to say the jokes. Yeah, it's proliferated. Like, it's just, I don't know, like, no one else. You could do that with no one else except for Chuck Norris.
Yeah. So big news for me as well, like outside of Chuck Norris, yesterday was the VR games showcase. So I'm pretty excited about that. There's actually been some big news that was due this year in the VR world, which was a device called the Steam Frame. So Valve, who, I don't know if you know who they are.
Yeah.
So they released Steam VR, and they were partnering with HTC back in the day, and the HTC Vive. There was the Oculus, the first Oculus.
Yep.
But then there was the HTC Vive, which was the first kind of mass consumer VR solution. And HTC made the hardware and Valve did the software, and they released Half-Life Alyx. And then a couple of years later, they released their own headset called the Index. And this was much better than the HTC Vive. In fact, even now, like, must be what, nearly 10 years old now, nine, 8 years old.
Yeah.
Even now, it's still considered one of the better headsets. It's not in the same class as, you know, headsets these days, but it had a lot going for it, and it did a lot well. Like, it came with these controllers called Knuckles controllers. So it's strapped around your hand, and it could track individual fingers, like as you let go and touch the controllers. It wasn't hand tracking, but it knew based on touch whether your fingers were gripping it or not. And it's been very successful, but they haven't done much since then, like either in terms of software or hardware. And then people were talking about, the code name was the Deckard for the Valve's, you know, next VR headset. And the, you know, the rumors were floating for years, and it's official now. It's called the Steam Frame. They also have their own mini PC or Steam games console called the Steam Machine. Both of those were due out this quarter, and they had to get delayed. And they got delayed because Valve have a massive batch of them sitting there in their warehouse that they wanted to sell at the price point that they priced it at when they designed and started building it. Then, of course, Rampocalypse happened. And now they can't get the components for the same price anymore. And what they're because, like, Valve, you know, they're far from perfect, don't get me wrong, but Gabe Newell in particular and the company have, you know, at least they have a streak through them of focusing on being ethical, right?
Yep.
And their stance is, we don't want to release this, we don't want to artificially inflate the price of all this stock that we've got sitting there, but then we don't want to release it and have it all be sold out and not be able to release the second batch at the same price. So they're talking to their suppliers, they're negotiating, they're trying to work out what they can work out. So yeah, so that's exciting. And it also is very exciting for me for reasons that will become very apparent when I tell you this saga that I've been wanting to tell you for a few days.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a bit of a meandering history here, which I know is very unlike me, but let me.
No. That reaction was not. No, I was actually going to say, thinking back to the comments.
You can't see the recording, right? But what Liam did was he put his two fingers together like a gun and, like, mind blowing his brains out.
No, it wasn't. It was more of just the look on my face. But the reason I wanted to interject there was thinking back to the comments that we've received on Spotify. Like, there's positive feedback on just you being able to do these side quests, but just be able to just reiterate these historical moments and the history even of, like, VR, or, gosh, I can't remember what the other one was. There was another one. We got some good feedback on that. Yeah, I think it was the UI in
UI Windows. In .NET.
In .NET. Yeah, like the feedback, I think people were just surprised that you were able to just do that off the top of your head without actually having notes in front of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm keen to see this roll out.
I mean, you know, with that, like the VR one, I did actually, like most of that I did know off the top of my head, but I did do a bit of research in preparation for that episode. And obviously the Xamarin one, I had, it was literally the not prologue, preface to my book or first chapter to my book, yeah. Which I had not long written, so it was fresh. In this case, I'm going to give you a bit of the history, but a lot of it is kind of my personal history as well.
Yeah.
So let me go back to what I said about the HTC Vive. So if you remember our VR episode, obviously my first experience with the VR was those old virtuality machines in the 90s, which I thought were amazing. And at the time, I didn't think that was going to be a flash in the pan. I thought that was the future of gaming and technology, right? Which, you know, we all did, and we were led to believe as such by movies like The Lawnmower Man and later The Matrix and, you know, everything else, right?
Yeah.
Existenz. Have you ever seen Existenz?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Let's not go off on that tangent. But yeah, you know, it didn't much come about. And I even remember at the time, like, there were consumer VR headsets that you could buy, and there were SDKs, and I was so keen to get my hands on one and, you know, start building stuff. And then it, you know, not expensive by today's standards. I mean, about the same price, I guess, adjusting for inflation. So, but you know, I couldn't afford any of that stuff as a teenager, so I never really got into it. And then when I saw that, well, I don't want to reiterate the whole history again, but obviously, excuse me, John Carmack obviously founded Oculus, and before they got acquired by Meta, that was very exciting. Oh, speaking of Meta and their VR stuff, have you seen?
Well, I was going to ask that. Like, when you were talking about the excitement around VR at the moment, I'm thinking, well, Meta have just basically pulled the pin.
No, they haven't. No, okay. So let me give you a bit of an update on what's happening with Meta. So what Meta have done is Meta tried really hard to make VR something that either they would own or it would fail as an industry. And they made good strides in it. I mean, that was their strategy, right? So Mark Zuckerberg was convinced that virtual computing, spatial computing, VR, AR was the next platform. And he was potentially pulling a bit of a Bill Gates with tablet computing there, in terms of he was right, but just too early. But his view was Meta, Facebook, you know, it was Facebook back then, don't forget.
Yeah, yeah.
Will dominate this platform and this space and own it, or this platform will fail. And that was his strategy, right? He wanted it to be something that either it succeeds with us or it doesn't succeed.
Mm.
And he got quite far with that strategy. He did quite well with it. Part of that was he introduced this thing called Horizon Worlds. And Horizon Worlds was, I guess, you know, the launcher, right? So yep. You put in your headset and you're in Horizon Worlds, and it was supposed to be a social space. Unfortunately, there was a very, very well established VR social space already called VR Chat, which is basically a social network in VR. And it is absolutely thriving, like incredibly successful, incredibly popular, incredibly a very, very wonderful thing in many ways, a problematic thing in lots of other ways. But there was no way he was going to compete with it. And also, like, the things that make it problematic are also the things that make it successful. And there's no way a company like Meta that has to at least make illusions of trying to do things above board could ever compete with.
Sure.
So Horizon World, and then, like, I don't know if you remember the history, but there was also a bit of a joke about some of the demo videos being completely made up and, you know, the avatars not having legs. Anyway, he pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. What he's done is he's pulled the pin on that being the launcher, I guess, for want of a better expression. So it's not even going away. Like, it will still be there and it will still be supported. It's just not forced down your throat every time you put your Oculus headset on.
Yeah.
So there's been a bit of a bit of, I guess, misinformation or misunderstanding around Meta pulling the pin on VR. And the other thing is they've actually already announced the next gen VR headset as well, or teased it, I should say. So they're certainly still going for it. What they have done as well, though, is they've pulled the funding on a whole bunch of game studios. This is another thing that really upset a lot of people, is Meta basically bought up like a massive swath of the VR development workforce. Like, they bought a bunch of game studios to coerce them into, not coerce them, I mean, they bought them, right? But they bought them so that they could have Meta and Quest exclusives.
Yep.
And they basically shut them all down. And one of the things that's really upset people is a lot of IP that's getting lost, a lot of these franchises. I mean, a lot of these people, you know, after this is happening, are going off to form other companies, and there's new things coming out of them, and they're exciting. So, no, like, the Meta are not pulling the pin. They're just changing tactic. Now, the thing to remember is, as I said, what Mark Zuckerberg has been saying all this time, it's not that he's interested in VR gaming. I mean, I'm sure he probably likes it well enough, but for him, it's about owning the next computing platform. And that's why the most interesting thing from his perspective that they've been doing is the Meta Ray-Bans. And now what they announced recently was the Meta Oakleys. I don't know if you saw those.
Have you
seen the Meta Ray-Bans? You know what I'm talking about at all?
Yeah.
So they've now announced Oakleys as well. So they're, you know, the wraparound, so more sport oriented. Now, this is where the drama comes in, right? Is the Meta Ray-Bans have kind of got mixed reviews. There are some people that say they're good. There are some people that say that they're okay. No one's saying they're terrible. Some people saying they don't quite live up to the hype. But what has been happening is that they've got, of course, they've got AI built in. And some of the AI is moderated by humans. So what has come out in the news is that there are people working in offices around in different places around the world that are reviewing audio and video recordings from these Meta Ray-Bans, including people in very private scenarios, which I won't bother going into. It doesn't matter. But the thing that astonishes me is all the surprise Pikachu face reactions. And it's like, what were you thinking? Like, what did you think? Like, giving the company that has made a massive global monopoly, which not a monopoly anymore, but has made a massive global mega corporation out of spying on people, and you wanted to let them strap a camera and recording device to your face.
Yeah.
And now you're surprised that it, like, that, yeah. So that's, and you know, there's also been some very level takes on it as well, which is people saying, you know, I mean, I used them for various things, which I found useful. And yeah, I am a little bit concerned to see that there are people reviewing videos of such and such nature. But frankly, I wouldn't be wearing them in that scenario anyway. So I don't quite know what, you know. So, I mean, there are some measured takes as well. Anyway, that's the drama. And as always, it's kind of minor and no one seems to care. And the new generation's out and people are really excited about it. So.
Yeah, I'm still a bit, like, I just don't like the, like, there's certain areas of privacy that, you know, we've accepted to give up, right?
Yeah.
But me being able to, me walking down the street and being out in public and then someone walking towards me wearing a pair of glasses like that, just, I don't know.
I mean, that's one of the major complaints, is that there's video footage of people walking down the street and talking to strangers. These strangers haven't consented to being recorded.
No.
Or but, being recorded by Meta.
No, but then they, I think the legality around that is, well, you're in a public space, so you don't have the
right
to,
there's no expectation of a right.
There's no expectations of privacy because you're in a public space.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't like that the way that goes. But again, it's like a lot of technology at the moment, you know, when the cat's out of the bag now, and can you really wrap it back up and put it back in its bag?
Can you put the genie back in the bottle? Can Pandora's monsters go back in the box? Look, this is a whole other topic, and this is one that I've been wanting to raise with you for a while. There is a significant issue there around LLMs as well. Anyway, whole other topic. And I, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'm keen to, but I've got a lot to get through. We haven't even started on the saga yet. So back to the early 2010s, I got excited about VR again.
Yep.
Luke actually bought, so as a friend of ours, he's called Luke, he actually bought one of the developer kits for the first Oculus.
Mm.
And I remember just going over to his house and just playing a game with it on. And I was like, yeah, this is the future I've been waiting for, right? And I didn't do much of it then. And then I was in London in 2016 with some friends. And the friends that I was sort of staying with at the time, heavily involved in like VFX and 3D graphics and stuff. And they had a plan to go and visit a store that had a demo set up of this HTC Vive that I mentioned earlier. I may have told this story in the last episode, but
not last episode, but I think you have spoken about this in the past.
The VR episode. Yeah. So anyway, so shortly after I got back, I bought one, right? I bought one of these VR headsets, an HTC Vive. I say headset, it's a whole system. I've got these like lighthouse trackers strapped to the, stuck and screwed to the wall that I haven't used for years and years and years. Anyway, I'm going to try and cut parts of this story short, but the headset died after a few years. It had a good run.
Yep.
But it died. And I thought it was a screen, and I bought a replacement part from ifixit.com, and I tried to fix it, and it still didn't work. And I decided that, so another bit of background context here, when I wrote the book on Maui, as I've mentioned, that kind of was a big strain on the family, and it was a big commitment, and so on and so forth. Mm. And I didn't really make much money from it, but I didn't make no money. And I spoke to Megan, and you know, and I said, look, whatever money we get from this, I'll put it all into the savings and towards the mortgage and what have you. But I want one thing for myself, which is to replace my VR setup.
Yep.
So what I wanted to do was buy a new headset, which I did. And that was a whole saga, figuring out which one to get. And I wanted to buy a new GPU. So this was before the LLM GPU price explosion that we're in now. Mm-hmm. But it was during or after the Bitcoin crypto mining one.
Yep.
So, and I remember having a discussion with someone, and just to think, like, oh, you sweet summer child. I remember saying, I don't mind paying $1,500 for a GPU, and I don't mind not having a top of the line GPU. I do mind paying $1,500 for a GPU that is not top of the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nowadays, like, that's entry level. That's a whole other fucking thing. And I do have a whole rant about artificial price inflation. There was the keyboard thing, which I touched on. Monitors, don't get me started on monitors. Like, don't get me started on QHD, which, putting my tinfoil hat on, was a resolution that was introduced purely to artificially inflate the prices of UHD monitors. Whole other rant. Anyway, so the other thing is, I kind of, at this point in history, a lot of the price inflation was purely NVIDIA. And I really, and you know, the AMD cards have gotten a lot better, like a lot, like they're as good as the NVIDIA cards. There's no question now, but the NVIDIA cards are still much better supported for some things. And at the time, one of those things was VR, unquestionably. Nowadays, that's not as true or even remotely true. And of course, nowadays, LLMs like are much better supported on NVIDIA hardware. Mm. So I would have much rather have bought an AMD card, but given that I wanted it for VR, I needed NVIDIA. So I decided I wasn't going to give them the satisfaction of a sale. So I thought to myself, I'm going to buy used, I'm going to buy secondhand. And I decided to buy one from Computer Exchange. I don't know if you know these guys.
No, I know.
So Computer Exchange, they're a big kind of global chain, I guess, of used computer hardware and software and accessories and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you can trade in, you can buy, you can sell. And in fact, I used to work for them in the UK 25 years ago, something like that. And now they're here. So I decided to buy from them because they have now a 5-year warranty. At the time, it was a 24-month warranty. And it's an interesting warranty because they sell you a used product. It used to be 3 months, right? And they changed it, and it was 24 months. Now it's 5 years. And the way that it works is if you buy something from them for 5 years after you buy it, if it fails, you can return it and they will exchange it for an item of equivalent value of the current value. So if you go and buy a, let's say, what phone have you got? Pixel 7 or whatever, I don't know. Like,
yeah, 9. Yeah, 9, I think.
Okay. If you buy a Pixel 9 today and it breaks in 3 years, they will give you either a Pixel 9 or whatever is the equivalent of a Pixel 9 in terms of value at that point in time. So it's kind of a depreciating value warranty. But, yeah. Even so, I thought, if I'm going to buy used, I can get it. Like, if I'm going to, first of all, this was 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago. I thought, if I'm going to buy used, it's definitely going to be something that has been through the ringer fucking mining cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So I can either get something off Facebook Marketplace or eBay, or if I buy it from these guys, there's a good chance it's going to be a dud, but at least I'll be able to return it.
To swap it out for something down the track.
For a different dud. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I found one and I bought it and they shipped it to me. It didn't even have a backing plate on it. I had to source one. My first ever AliExpress purchase, as it happens. I bought an RTX 3090, an NVIDIA RTX 3090, which at the time was top of the line. And like the thing is with VR, right? So the thing with these different cards, you've got different generations of cards. They've got different numbers of, excuse me, called CUDA cores. So on NVIDIA, their technology is called CUDA. There's some drama recently about NVIDIA's latest DLSS technology as well. I don't know if you heard that. We'll come back to it. That was quite funny.
I've seen headlines, but I haven't read it.
I'll tell you what it is in a minute. It's quite funny. But yeah, so the way that GPUs work, as opposed to the difference between CPUs, is that they have, you know, vast orders of magnitude more cores that do very, very small calculations individually in parallel, as opposed to a CPU, which also, you know, it does. So, you know, like my CPU has 24 cores.
Yep.
My GPU has thousands, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, none of them individually are very capable. Anyway, but what matters for some things is not necessarily speed or number of cores or any of that, but RAM, VRAM, how much memory they've got. And frustratingly, for someone who's a VR enthusiast, I've always been competing with these bloody fads. So cryptocurrency was a big one. And now, of course, with LLMs and AI, VRAM and context windows matter, right? Yeah. So the things that matter for VR are the things that matter for AI. So that's frustrating. So anyway, so eventually I found this card and I bought it, and it was a dud. Like, it kind of worked, but the display driver would shit the bed after playing for a start. I bought a cheapo one. It was, you know, it was a lot of money, but it was a cheapo one.
Yep.
So for context, this was 3 or 4 years ago, and it was $1,200, and that was used.
Shit.
And it was considered a low end model. I mean, but my view at the time was like, well, it's just branding, right? Like, who cares? Like, it was the same. And I've since learned that no, actually, by the time you get above a certain threshold, there's definitely diminishing returns in terms of paying more for the same model across different brands. But the cheapo brands do cheap out on some things. And this one of the things that was annoying was that just the coil whine. Like, as soon as you would start playing a game, it would shriek like a server room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Anyway, I wouldn't even have cared about that, except for the fact that I couldn't play a game for more than like 5 or 10 minutes without it dying. Now, and I'm really summarizing here, but this was a long saga, and it took me a long time to figure out what was going on. But eventually I figured out that actually the OS was still running, but the display driver had failed and would not come back on. There was nothing I could do to get it back online short of rebooting the machine.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, and in fact, even before that, I had another problem first, which I discovered, which was that my PSU wasn't pumping out enough watts for the card. So I changed that, and that helped. Like, that when it made it go from like 5 minutes to like 10 minutes before it would shit the bed. But shit the bed it would. So I thought, well, I bought it from CEX, I'll take it back. And I took it back, and there was no alternative like in stock in the country. Now, under normal circumstances, I would have said, fine, take it back, give me the voucher, and when one comes back in, replace it.
Yeah.
Due to circumstances, I hesitate to say beyond my control, but due to circumstances, at this point in time, I'm working on a VR project for a client, and I needed it. I didn't have a choice, and I couldn't relinquish it. So I kept it, and I muddled through. The thing is, it's just like, it just put a sour twist onto something that was like my one little reward for the book, because I just wanted this one little thing, which was a working replaced VR system.
Yeah.
And it just put a sour twist on it. And it just, like, it was just sad, and it was frustrating. Anyway, so I muddled through, and I didn't, you know, I honestly didn't have much time for it anyway, so I didn't really get use out of it. Last year, I started getting back into it, and I started probing it a bit more, and I did a bit more research, I did a bit more testing, bit more logging, bit more probing, bit more in depth, and basically definitively proved that the card was fucked.
Yeah.
So I also had a frustrating situation at the time, because that was my main daily driver for home. I also had a laptop for work, but I also dual booted that and used it for home. And I have another laptop, which is a Mac, which I use for basically mobile app support for iOS, which I need for client work and some of my own stuff. And trying to get a docking station situation working that was kind of working like a KVM between the desktop and the laptops was just, it just basically, it got to the point where the paper cuts all built up to, you know, they call it death by 1,000 cuts, but these paper cuts got to the point where I just couldn't bear it anymore. And I just thought, fuck it, I'm going to buy a new laptop. So I had my eye on this laptop all of last year called the Asus ProArt 16. And it was a thing of beauty, right? It was, they call it a creator laptop. It had a top of the range RTX 5090. So these laptop GPUs nerfed compared to the desktop ones. But for what I want them for, which is VR, the important thing is that they have VRAM.
Yeah.
So okay. I really wanted to get a framework. I don't know if you've heard of framework laptops.
Yeah.
I really, really would have loved to have got that. And they even had one, the Framework 16, which looks amazing. And it's got a GPU, a replaceable GPU module. But it tops out at 8 gig, and that's not enough. Like, you got to have 12 as a minimum. And really, you want, you know, 16 or 24. And it was kind of unproven. And like the, some of the reviews have come back in now longer term. And I was very, very, and like, you know, I'm summarizing here, but we're talking about a years long saga of me agonizing over what to do, because I have my own values as well. Like, I don't want to contribute to over consumerism and waste. You know, yeah. I don't want to keep churning these things. I really wanted to buy something that I was going to lock in and that was going to be it for like 5 years. Right.
So I guess that's where the framework comes in.
100%. Exactly. Yeah. But I just wasn't there yet. So then I saw this ASUS ProArt, which got amazing rave reviews across the board. And it was like a really sleek, because they call it a creator laptop, right? Which means it looks professional. It doesn't, like all the gamer laptops have all this RGB lighting and shit. And
yep. You turn it off anyway and you don't need it.
Yeah. And they just look like they're designed to look like gamer laptops because that's who they appeal to. So anyway, this ASUS ProArt thing got announced and released and it was beautiful. And then, of course, it didn't get released here, and it still hasn't been released here. And eventually in December, it got announced as being available here. And I even contacted them and they said it's available through these resellers. And I contacted all of these resellers and only one of them had it. And this one that had it only had it via their New Zealand reseller. So they couldn't even sell it to me through their Aussie company. It's like you have to buy it from New Zealand and get it shipped over. And it would have cost me about $9,500. And I just thought, I'm not doing that. And like, especially given that at that point, it was already like 6 to 8 months old. Like, you know, like anyway, as it happens, I saw a deal for a Lenovo Legion laptop, which wouldn't have been my first choice. Now, I think I should give you a bit of background on Lenovo as well. Like, I have been a huge, huge Lenovo advocate
for decades. I have too, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, aside from anything else, their keyboards are the best laptop keyboards. There's no question.
Yes. Well, for the most part, I'm a bit disappointed with my current one, but look, it just there's not the same key travel in it because it is it's an X1. So it's meant to be compact. So, I mean, it is. But compared to my old Lenovo, I pick that one up all the time. I'm like, that's just got the best keyboard.
This is my Lenovo X1 Carbon Gen 2 from 2014. And it is still the best laptop keyboard I've ever had. And this is still probably one of my best laptops. Like, even today, it's still earning its keep.
Yeah.
Now, you want to talk about a bit disappointed with Lenovo? We'll get to that, right? So, needless to say, I have been a huge, huge Lenovo advocate for decades. I think they make fantastic laptops. In fact, I, at an organization where I work for, work at the hospital, I replaced our entire laptop fleet with hardware as a service, as I called it at the time, but it was leased, right? Laptop fleet. And they were so good that, so they were hire purchase, right? So you hire them and at the end of the lease, you give them back and you get a little bit of money back for them. They were so good, we didn't give any back. Like we thought, well, we'll offer them to the staff to buy them. Mm-hmm. And if the staff don't want them, we'll keep them in IT as our backup pool. Every single one of them got sold. We didn't send a single one back. Like, because people loved them and they were just good. Like if you think about Apple as being a triumph of form over function, I think Lenovo are a triumph of function over form. And even then, some of them are actually really nice looking.
But I think they are. Like, they are absolutely function first, but they're not ugly.
No. So, needless to say, I was somewhat excited when I saw this deal. It was not what I was after in terms of looks, in terms of it's a gaming machine. It's heavy. It's bulky. But I was like, well, it's going to replace my desktop. I'm not going to.
Sorry, that's an understatement because you bought this machine along for BDD Live, right?
Yeah.
Heavy and bulky is the biggest understatement I've heard.
It's 2.5 kilos and it's got a 16-inch screen. And
the power brick to just power this thing is weighs more than my.
Yes, but it's got a 5090 GPU in it, right?
Yeah.
So anyway. I'll come back to that because Bubbles, that incident features in this story.
Yeah.
So I was quite excited. So I got a good deal and I won't go into too much detail about the deal, but it was the laptop plus 5-year on-site next day warranty plus additional cash back. And it all came into, it all came out as like less than half of what I was saying for that other laptop I mentioned. Yeah. And I am denied about it. And I just thought, well, actually it's a really good deal. And I'm glad I bought it and I'm glad I pulled the trigger because it's now going for, if you can get it, for about the same price as that other one that I mentioned. Sure. So
yeah.
So here I was thinking, well, I didn't want to spend all this money. I didn't want this giant fucking thing. But after all these years of this bitterness and just this sourness about this poisoned experience with my VR and the book and everything, I was like, well, I'll buy this laptop. So I bought this laptop and I tried it a bit for VR and it was working. It was okay. It was good. That was fine. Another little positive in this story, right? That GPU, that faulty GPU.
Yeah,
I actually did return it to CEX, and because I'd reported the fault within the original time window, they honored the return, and they don't do cash refunds. Like they just don't. But they did give me a voucher for the full value that I paid for it, which I imagine someday may be useful to me. I don't know, but yeah. So that was a little bit of a positive outcome to that tangent of the story. But this Lenovo thing, right? So I bought it and I haven't had the chance to put it through its paces properly with VR yet, but I have used it a bit and so far I've been happy with it, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I have been playing this game called Aim Assault, which I'll just take a quick tangent. Do you remember Time Crisis?
Yes.
It's basically Time Crisis in VR and it is fucking awesome. It is so good. I highly recommend watching a YouTube short, like just a 1 minute video of like Aim Assault, so you know what I'm talking about. It's so good. It's just fun. Time Crisis in VR. So that's what I've been playing. But you know, I want to get stuck into Half-Life Alyx, and I want to get stuck into Vertigo and a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, I digress, and I haven't had the time. So The other thing that I thought would be, you know, one of the other justifications for investment in this thing is, of course, running LLMs locally and running models locally. Just thought, well, I'll be able to do that. And I have been doing that. And at first it worked okay. And then we went and did our Beer Driven Devs live and it completely fucking shit the bed and the laptop rebooted like three times.
Yeah.
Now, I thought at the time, it's like, well, you know, it was, what was it, 5-6 days that we put that together? And I thought,
we, look, I'll take credit, but it was more you.
Well, yeah.
No, it was all you. Yeah.
Me and Copilot. That's the we. No, I mean, I kind of thought, well, 6 days, 5-6 days. And, you know, that's in my spare time as well, because I was working during those days. But I thought I didn't have time to test it, didn't have time to optimize it. There's probably things I missed, so on and so forth. But then in the time following, I did optimize it and I did test it and I did get everything lined up.
Yep.
And I found a couple of things. The first thing that I found is that LLMs just are not optimized for Windows, or more importantly, Windows is not optimized for VMs. So I wasn't able to get the performance out of them that I should have been getting. In fact, on my Mac, which is massively underpowered by comparison, I don't get similar performance, but I get disproportionately close performance to what I was getting.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know if you remember this, and I don't know if you even spoke about it, but even one of the models, the text-to-speech model, which was Qwen 3 TTS we were using to clone Toby's voice, I couldn't get that to run under Windows at all. Like, that had to run under WSL. So yeah. that was running under Windows Subsystem for Linux, like even on the night. Like, that just doesn't work on Windows at all. So yeah, so I wasn't able to get LLMs working properly. Anyway, then something strange happened. I found that my laptop was randomly rebooting, even when I wasn't running LLMs or playing games.
Oh.
Yes, so that was frustrating. And the thing is that's really annoying, right, is that I've spent so much time talking about the background that I don't really have much time to talk about this, which is the main part of the story.
Yeah.
But I'll go through it as quick as I can. I use this piece of software called Playnite, which is really nice. It's like it's a game library, basically. You install it on your computer. It's free. It's open source. It's WPF. You'd love it.
Yeah.
your eyes lit up then. People watching this recording can't see, but Liam's like sitting back very relaxed. And when I said that, he sat up. But yeah, it's really cool. So it kind of enumerates your game library and it just gives you a launcher and it works across all the different launchers. So it integrates with Steam and with Epic Games and everything else as well. Really, really nice bit of software. Free, open source. So I installed it on this laptop after I got it, and I've been running it on all my machines for years. Fired it up and it popped up this big fucking dialogue, right? And it said, what was it said? Oh, I've got a screenshot of it somewhere. I don't know. It said, but basically it says something like, NIMIC has been detected on your system. NAHIMIC. And it's like, it's been known to break Playnite and other things. Find out more here. And the URL is playnite.link/NIMIC sucks. And I was like, oh, okay, what's this? So I clicked on it, and they have very, very little information. It basically said it's kind of known to be cause some instability. I did a bit of Googling. I thought, okay, well, that's like some edge case I can ignore. So what have you? So I did ignore it. Anyway, so I didn't really think about it again until getting into the weeds of trying to figure out why my computer would keep fucking rebooting, like even not doing anything. So I did some digging and I went down the rabbit hole of not doing something that I thought I would ever have to do again after leaving being a sysadmin. But I got like memory dumps and I opened them with WinDebug and started fucking debugging memory dumps and like looking at bug check codes and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but surely these days you could ask Copilot to help you out there.
I did ask Copilot to help, yes. I mean, you still have 5, 10 years
and that would have been a nightmare.
Yeah, it's funny because I think often, this is a tangent here, but often like those memory dumps contain very valuable information that's actually very apparent. It's just not logged and it's just not captured in the logs. Because like when Windows bug checks and it shuts itself down, like it's literally a memory dump. So it doesn't have time to write things to the logs, but the information there is quite apparent. And I have solved many problems for clients that didn't even know to look there. And it's like, well, here's your problem, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A really interesting problem, actually, that like I've brought this up before, and I don't want to go off on this story now, but about Exchange, Microsoft Exchange Server, deliberately triggering a bug check. Do you know about, have I told you this story?
I think you have mentioned this story in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't go into it now. Anyway. So, yes. So here I am, and I'm fucking debugging these memory dumps and doing the memory dump analyzers. And I found this problem. And here was me thinking there's going to be a problem with my GPU, but it isn't a problem with my GPU. Thankfully, it's this. Well, it actually is, but it's being triggered elsewhere by this NIMIC driver. And I'm like, okay, what is it? So I'm like, well, what is it? And I looked into it, and basically, it is. You know what? I don't even know. I actually don't even know what it is. I kind of have a very vague idea, right? Basically, it is an audio. It's an audio tool that is supposed to improve spatial sound in gaming, like it improves your surround or your perceived surround and does some magic with the microphone, right? But here's the thing, it's bullshit. It doesn't really work. And even if it does, like the value that it provides is negligible.
Well, especially if it's rebooting the machine.
Right. And here's the thing, it's like I went down this rabbit hole and I started looking into it and trying to figure out, and I learned more about it. And what I learned was it's made by this random little French company that then sold it to this other French company called Volute. And it really adds no value. Like most people don't want it. And it gets bundled with operating systems by the vendors, not by the OS vendor, but by the hardware vendors. So they've got deals with Lenovo and with MSI and with a whole bunch of others to bundle these NIMIC drivers with their OEM install. Well, that's a bit annoying. So I thought, well, that is annoying, but I'll get rid of it. That's fine. Yeah, you can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm not joking. You can't get rid of it, right? So the fucking rabbit hole I went down with this thing, you wouldn't believe, right? So first of all, I tried to install it. So I opened up like atwiz.cpl, like add or remove programs.
Mm-hmm.
Not there. Okay, where is it? So I start poking around for it, right? The short version is, I thought, well, it will be in program files.
Yeah. No,
it's in /windows/system32. It is hiding itself as a system component. So I was like, well, that's fucked. So, but I'm really shortcutting here, like the rabbit hole that I went down to try and find where it is, like, is it in the Lenovo bloatware that comes pre-installed?
I thought Lenovo really wound that back.
Maybe on the ThinkPad line.
Yeah.
Apparently not on the Legion.
Yeah, okay.
So the short version here is there isn't a short version. Like basically it's laundering itself as a system component, which it is. Not only that, but you can't get rid of it. Like I had to like force take ownership and then stop a bunch of services and then delete it. But then it comes back, right? And like as far as I'm concerned, the behavior is equivalent to that of a rootkit. Right?
Yeah.
It installs itself, it hides itself as a system component, it comes back, and I went through a good like 2 or 3 weeks of trying to fucking get rid of this thing, right? I did a whole bunch of stuff. I deleted it, I blocked it, I found a script online that I didn't want to have to do. It was the nuclear option where it basically creates ACL rules to deny everyone access to these files so they can't possibly be created or what have you. I thought, I don't want to do that. So, you know, I stopped the service, I deleted the files, I deleted the drivers, fucking comes back. I'm looking at Lenovo, they're not coming from Lenovo. It's coming from Windows Update, right? because Lenovo have registered it with Windows Update as a driver for this hardware. Yeah. Now, here's where it starts to get really nefarious, as far as I'm concerned. I created a local group policy to disallow the installation of drivers altogether.
Yeah.
Next Windows Update, that group policy got deleted. And there is this fucking Niamic thing back. And again, like, I'm really giving you the very short version of this story here. I was furious. I was pulling my hair out. I was banging my head against the wall. Anyway, eventually I iterated several iterations and I came up with this very, very convoluted nuclear option script, right? That does so many things, right? It changes, it deletes the files. It takes ownership, deletes the files, changes the ACL, sets this policy to block these things via Windows Update, creates a scheduled task that runs every time the computer boots to make sure that that policy is there and adds it if it didn't. And for a time, I had another one running every 30 minutes that would check to see if these files were there and would give me an alert. And I just got sick of it. And I just thought, I was just furious. And I was just thinking, why the heck do I have to do all this just to use a computer that I've bought to block a rootkit that I didn't ask for? So that brings us to the start of the conversation where I was like, fuck, backup, blah, blah, blah. Oh, the other thing as well, I forgot to tell you, clean install of Windows, right? So I am not using the Lenovo OEM installer. I like literally went to the Microsoft website, downloaded the USB, the media creation tool.
Yeah.
Absolute clean install of Windows. No Niamic drivers in sight. Nothing, right? Installed Windows. Manually installed drivers myself. A couple of days later, boom, there these things are. And again, as I said, like looking at the logs, I can see they've come from Windows Update because they are registered by Lenovo as drivers for this system. So that was when I then went the nuclear option. And I was like, I was really, really pissed at this point. Like I was really, really angry. Anyway, that brings us up to last week. And I have been thinking for years now about switching to Linux, my desktop, for various reasons. And this was the catalyst. I've pulled the pin. I've done it. And I've some of those reasons. And now also, I should also clarify that I have actually been a Linux user for decades, right? So I've run Linux servers. This ThinkPad laptop got a second lease of life by running Linux on it. I used to have back in the day, I had my Intel MacBook triple booted. So I would boot into have a bootloader and I'd choose Windows, Mac OS or Linux. So Linux isn't new to me, but switching to it full time, the like nowadays, like everything that we need is supported, right? So .NET basically, like everything else, you know, is there. The thing that's been holding me back has been VR, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I don't have much time for VR, I do still want to play VR when I do have time. And I just thought, well, Linux held me back. So I started looking into it. And actually, there is a whole massive community of VR on Linux players. In fact, you remember earlier I said about VR chat? About that. There is actually one of the most prominent influencers in VR chat is a Linux user and has got a bunch of guys. There's a whole community. What are they called? Like Linux. There's a whole Linux VR gaming community. Yeah, they've got like a wiki, a Discord. There's multiple different bits of software. But Steam natively works on Linux now, like Steam VR. And this is why, when I said right at the very beginning, I'm really excited for this Steam Frame and Steam Machine. They're both Linux machines. And in fact, when the Steam Deck came out a couple of years ago, that was the handheld, that had a custom Linux OS, and that completely changed Linux, like gaming on Linux.
Yeah.
Like gaming on Linux has come into its own. And I'm not a hardcore gamer. I'm not a big gamer. But when I want it, I want it, and I want it to be there. And like one of the major barriers to VR is the setup cost. And I don't mean in terms of how much you spend. I mean in terms of like if you think of a game console, like a Nintendo Switch or like a casual game on your phone, you just pick it up and you just start playing it.
Yeah.
With VR, it's not that. There are steps, and that's one of the barriers. Is like even when I want to play a quick game of VR, like one of the reasons that I don't play it as much as I would like to is, when I do get the time, I start thinking about all of the setup steps I have to do. And I was like, I just can't be fucked. So what I didn't want was something that was going to add more steps and make it even harder. And I've looked into it and I've now seen that actually it runs very well and it runs very easily. And the thing that makes me excited is, you know, we're already seeing the impact of Steam Frame making things better. And when it comes out, it's just going to be so much of a better seamless experience. Yeah. So I bit the bullet and I wiped the drive for the second time. Only this time I didn't install Windows. I installed Linux.
and then you can't, your backup's not working?
Right. So now I would be lying if I said it's been smooth sailing. There are actually some things that are just working much better, right?
Yeah.
Like much, much better. But there are some things that I did wrong. And I was going to say that aren't, but it's not true. It's just some things I did wrong. So like, obviously the first question that everyone has to ask themselves when they decide to switch to Linux is, what distro am I going to choose?
Mm.
So that was a bit of an agonizing process. Yep. And I made a decision to go very, very boring, very, very dull. And I said, I'm just going to go with Debian, right? It is the most boring you can choose, but it's stable. It's going to work, blah, blah, blah. So that was the decision I made. And then I didn't do that. I chose CacheOS instead. And I chose CacheOS because it's very popular. It is based on Arch, which means that it's a rolling distro, which means it's bleeding edge and everything works like way better than anything else, but it also breaks way more frequently than everything else. Funnily enough, none of that has been my problem, right? So two problems.
It's funny that you're going down that path, considering you've come from one stable machine, one unstable machine that just will not stay running and has to restart itself. You're looking for stability, and then you get to an OS that's...
Well, don't forget that you can just not take the updates, right? You don't have to take the rolling updates.
Yeah.
And also, I have had stability. Like, I have had no problems with this whatsoever, apart from the mistakes that I made, which I'm now paying for, which are now mostly also resolved. But yeah, so one of the problems that I had was, so I've got two SSDs in this machine, one that runs the OS and another one for data. When I first started firing up my games and my VR, running them off that SSD with the data, it doesn't, like, basically Steam on Linux doesn't work with NTFS volume fine.
Yep.
So I backed up that volume, and the fuck that happened earlier was all my repos. It's just backed up the folders and not the files. So that's annoying.
Yeah.
But thinking about it, I think they're probably there, and there's probably some kind of permissions issue, and I can probably, but if not, like, it doesn't really matter. I was speaking to someone the other day about this before I even made the switch, and I was saying that since we've had like cloud sync for our files and, you know, centralized repositories, I treat the OS as disposable anyway. So it's like none of this is a major drama.
No.
But that was the one that just pissed me off at the start of this call, because I've just had a few other dramas which have been of my own making. Like, I found that I couldn't get Secure Boot working. And I don't really need Secure Boot, but I want Secure Boot because it means that I can encrypt my drives and enable a TPM and not have to put in a password. I haven't been able to get that working. And that's a Lenovo issue that's annoying me as well. But that's fine. Like, it's just, I just have to put in an encryption key when I boot. That's fine. It's not the end of the world. And I can probably get that working at some point. But I had to reinstall the whole OS again because I thought I'd encrypted the drive and I hadn't. So it was unencrypted. And basically you can't, it's not like BitLocker where you can just turn it on. You have to reinstall.
Yeah, okay.
So between the reinstall and between reformatting the other drive from NTFS, so I think I'm using BTRFS. That was where I did that backup of those repos, which were the second drive where they were when I was on Windows. And that was when I was just looking for them then, because I wanted to look for some notes I'd made about this. And that was when I realized that none of the files were. I was like,
but if they're repos, they're not stored on a central.
So in principle, yes. The reason that I backed up all those repos was because I thought to myself, I bet there's some there where I've got local changes that I haven't pushed. I'll just take a backup of it just in case. And there might be, and I've probably lost some stuff, but whatever. Like, probably nothing major. So, and it wouldn't be the first time, and that's fine. You live, you learn. So yeah, that brings us to now.
Like, sounds like you've had a great time.
Yeah.
Did you look? You didn't go back to Lenovo and just go, my machine's just randomly rebooting all the time?
No, I thought about it, but then I thought, what's the point? Like, I know what the problem is, and I know from past experiences with these vendors, like, what are they going to do? Like, I'm just going to go through their help desk and their troubleshooting for on loop indefinitely.
Yeah.
I remember when I had an issue with my Dell laptop. I don't know if I've ever told you about this. So two, three years ago, I bought Megan a new laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided I want one as well. So I bought one for myself, both from Dell. They're both good deals. And they were cheap. They were consumer. I can't remember. So Dell have got, like, I think it's the Inspiron are the consumer ones. And the XPS are the, yeah. So they were Inspirons, right?
Yeah.
But that was never the problem. The problem was that for a few years, Dell had this design for their trackpads where they had this contactless ground, where the grounding, it was grounded via like a mesh, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like, it took me a few months of research, but once I found it, I found all these threads and all these people talking about this exact same problem. Not, like, and the thing that was most frustrating is it's a known problem and it's known how to fix. And a lot of people are just doing a little, just bridging the connection with a little bit of solder.
Yep.
And it completely fixes it, completely makes it go away.
But they can't recognize it because...
Exactly. Yeah. So mine ended up going back. I mean, Megan's went back, but she replied with a newer generation that doesn't seem to have the problem. So they've obviously fixed it now. And yeah, there was arguments with them about drivers, and they're like, oh, we can fix it with drivers. I actually spoke to, remember Clement?
Yep.
So he was like you, an electrical engineer, except he actually finished.
He finished.
I remember explaining the problem to him, and I was saying that some people are talking about getting a little bit of copper tape, and he was like, do not do that. And I was like, oh, okay. And he told me why that was incredibly dangerous. I was like, but hundreds of people are saying it's working. He's like, good for them. Don't fucking do it. And I remember saying, like, Dell is saying to me that firmware can fix it. Like, I don't understand how that can be possible. And he said, well, it is theoretically possible because you can compensate, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, the short version is eventually it went back. Like, Megan's went back and she got a replacement. Mine went back and I got a refund, which was another little node in that history that I missed out. So this whole drama and this whole saga. Anyway, so with where I am now, everything is working and everything is stable and everything's nice and I'm quite happy. It's just been a bit of a fucking pain in the ass getting here. The good news is I can run Bubbles and just like let it run for like a good hour.
Bubbles doesn't die on us.
No, except our submission for Slash New got rejected, so we don't need Bubbles anyway.
I was going to ask about that. Oh, well, that's sad.
There'll be Bubbles will have his moment again.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, and the other thing that's really exciting as well is, of course, Avalonia have announced their Linux backend for .NET MAUI. So you can now write .NET MAUI apps and have them run on your desktop on Linux. So, of course, I'll be playing with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, overall, I'm very happy. It is very stable. It is very fast. It's just been a bumpy road getting here, and it's been frustrating. And I think the thing that really annoyed me was finding out that my drive wasn't encrypted, because I remember having another little rage meltdown about our fucking secure by default Linux, huh? As I said, it's like I haven't solved the secure boot thing, but all the drives are encrypted, and you know, like I have to put in a key at startup, which is not ideal, but it's not the end of the world. Yeah. But yeah, it's like it's working. Everything is working really well. It's very fast, stable. I can play games. I can run VR. I can run local LLMs. I can do all my work. I don't really know what else you could ask more.
Oh, can you carry it around the city?
No, but I don't have to, because I have this Mac that I take with me instead, and I've been using Tailscale to remote back in when I need to.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, I even did that today. So this morning I went down to the bike garage to take my bike in for the pink slip. And I ended up being there for like 4.5-5 hours, which
it's a long time for a pink slip.
No, but they were short staffed, and it needed a couple of other things I hadn't planned for. So yeah, but so I set up Tailscale and you know, like I took the MacBook with me because it's very light and small and has very good battery life. Once you start running VMs on it, that diminishes very quickly. So instead I had the VM running back here at home and just using Tailscale just connected into the VM. So was able to work. And funnily enough, like I don't know if we covered it in the recording, but as I was saying earlier, it's been a manic time at home at the moment. My children are insane. But funnily enough, I've been more productive at work this morning sitting in the waiting room at that bike shop than I have been in a couple of weeks.
Fair enough. So if you're using it as a desktop replacement, is it still more beneficial than having a desktop itself? Could you have just gone out and just got a brand new GPU?
No, because there are none available. Unless you want to buy for $5,000 a brand new top of the line one, which I don't. And the other thing is, like, I do still have the desktop here, and I will use it for, I'll probably use it as a, for a bit of self-hosting for, you know, some like containers for some of my tests.
Yeah.
Rejects and stuff.
A home lab.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's got an older socket, so I can't even upgrade the CPU. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's limited at this stage.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, that was a fun journey through your last couple of weeks, or last couple of years even.
Yeah. So that's my recent saga.
Yeah. And you sent me that message saying, I can't even remember what it was, but it was something along the lines of, what was the driver called? It's the driver. I can't remember now. That's right. You sent me that. Yeah, the repo you've got. Nuke name it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's that script that I ended up putting together is on GitHub. I guess we can put the link in there. Did you see the README?
No. Does that script include format and install?
No. Have a look at the README. It's only two lines.
Get rid of Nimic from your computer, the nuclear option. You better believe there's a blog post in bit. Well, one of those has already taken place.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these Lenovo Legions right now. They got a fucking 18-inch laptop.
Yeah.
What a behemoth.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a difference between portability and mobility, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there are people that want a gaming machine and, it's not like they want a hot desk with it and it's not like they want to take it into the office every day, but they do want to be able to go to competitive tournaments or what have you. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, there is a market for these things.
But, I don't know if I can hear them calling last drinks, but I'm ready for my last drinks.
Yeah. Yes, I am a zombie today. This week, my catchphrase at the moment is it's been a long week, and I usually say it on a Monday lunchtime.
So it's been a long week, and you usually say it on a Monday lunch.
Yeah.
This is how
it feels at the moment.
Yeah, I mean that's how I started up this conversation, right? And I feel like I'm ready for a holiday already.
Yeah.
Is it Christmas yet?
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah. That's it. Time for Christmas. Time for a break. Yeah, Matt. Well, I think they're kicking me out here.
I think we're kicking ourselves out. I don't hear, like you said, I don't hear that bell ringing. But I think either way, I think that's it for this week's episode of the Beer Driven Devs. I'm Matt Goldman.
And I'm Liam Elliott. Cheers.
Cheers.
The Beer Driven Devs podcast is recorded and produced on Dharawal and Darkinjung land.
Yeah, and on this week's episode of Beer Driven Devs, Matt just swears like a trooper.
Do I bollocks?